might be done by then.
Thanks for the work on.
It's open. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2093. Technically, we're in a work session on House Bill 2093, and we have an amendment. They're the dash twos. Essentially, colleagues, they are the tax credits that we've been talking about, which there was not a lot of controversy. And as Chris will describe here in a minute, puts us within about $8.8 million of the goal of extending these tax credits that are listed in the amendment, with the co-chairs, $14 million, and obviously there's a lot more that could be added. But it is a lump of clay on the pottery stand, and with that, I will turn it over to Chris to summarize the amendment.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committees. And before I forget, following up on a question from last week, there was a request to have a table of all tax credits that affect the revenue stream in the 15-17 biennium, and in OLIS there are two such lists. One is organized by sunset date, and one is organized by subject area or policy area. I just wanted to mention that before I forgot. Also within OLIS there's a document titled HB 2093-2 Summary, which is intended to be just a brief highlights of how the dash two amendment is organized. And to just walk through that for everybody listening, in sections 1-4 is the working family and child independent care credit. This was House Bill 2116A, as came from Rep. Kenny Geyer's committee. The IDA contributions are in sections 5-8, and that should be effectively House Bill 2011. I would note that I'm still going through the details of the amendment, and sometimes the language in these initial bills didn't make it into this dash amendment, and I am talking with legislative counsel to just flesh all of those details out. So if anybody's looking for particular language that was in the prior House bill or Senate bill and not in the dash two amendment, we are still working on that, because the intent was to have, for example, all of 2011 into 2093, but I was looking at it and I noticed I couldn't find some of the 529 contribution language. Section 9 are the IDA withdrawals, and this is the credit for if the money gets used for closing costs, there's an extra tax credit. Section 10 is the Oregon Veterans Home Physician, a simple extension, a six-year extension. Section 11 is the Oregon Life and Health IGA assessments. That's a corporate insurance tax credit. It's a six-year extension. Sections 12-13 are the six-year extension of the severe disability with the means testing. It caps the credit for filers with no more than $100,000 of AGI.
This is the first document.
Sections 14 and 15 are the child and disability tax credit, again with the means testing provision. The rural medical providers tax credit is in section 16, and this should be the two-year extension version of that. And section 17-21 is the University Venture Development Fund, and this contains clarification of the language regarding the program cap and the taxpayer cap that was discussed previously. Sections 22-27 are the Office of Child Care Contributions. This is the increase to the $2.5 million as was in Senate Bill 212, along with the other policy changes. And then in the remaining sections, or the missing section, Section 28 is an applicability section. I forgot to include that table. There's no revenue impact to that piece. The Section 29 is the early sunset of the long-term care insurance, so that raises $10 million. In the 15-17 biennium. And in sections 30-31 is the disallowance of corporate tax credits against the corporate minimum, the so-called Conway fix. And that, as drafted in the bill, would be in place for 6 years. So there is roughly a $20 million impact for each of the three biennia. So the total revenue impact for the 15-17 biennium of all those policies is a revenue loss of $22.8 million. And if the committee is working from the $14 million target from the Ways and Means co-chairs, there is a difference of $8.8 million.
Okay, so that's to say that if we were to pass this amendment out today and send it to the floor of our chambers, we'd be off by $8.8 million. So there's still some work that may need to be done. Questions on the amendment or questions of Chris? Senator Boquist?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to clarify for Chris because I've been asked, and I will, at outside of the committee, sit down with Chris and Paul and make sure I understand each section that's in here. But sections 30 through 31, despite having minimum and a bunch of the old law text in it, is really just the Conway fix, that $19.2 million piece. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then the second thing, just a clarification, on our side in the Senate, we have reached out to our colleagues in the Democratic side in the chair and put forth some concepts of possibly getting closer to the co-chair's desire of a balanced budget in terms of minor changes to the family child care, IDA, OCC, public university, rural medical. And I know, Chris, you have done a little bit of work on those, and some of that data is out there. But for the purposes of the amendment before us, this is the original that doesn't include any of the minor edits that would bring this close to balance. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chris, there were some questions that came up last week on the RETC modifications. Could you explain what that is, 2447?
The RETC, the Residential Energy Tax Credit modifications, those pertain to changes on the tax credit cap. There is no extension of that tax credit. Within the RETC, there are two types of Category 1 devices. You have alternative fuel devices and then other devices. And what that bill does is it modifies those caps. It makes the cap for the alternative fuel devices a little bit more lenient, so there's a slight revenue loss there. But it also places, on most of the devices, it actually creates a cap related to the cost of the device. Under current law, some taxpayers are getting a credit that is almost equal to the cost of the device. And so what that bill does is it creates an additional cap. So there's kind of a three-pronged cap. And the new language would be an additional cap of 50% of the cost of the credit. So that raises some revenue. And that does that for the remaining 2 years of the tax credit. So the net effect of those two cap policies is an increase in revenue of about $300,000 per year.
Okay. We also had some questions on the new markets tax credit. Some people in this committee were interested in adding back in. Could you explain the cost that it takes 2 years or 4 years to get up and running, and why there's no figure in the next two biennia?
Yes, the nature of that tax credit is it's a seven-year tax credit, but the first 2 years there is no tax credit. It's not until year three where there's actually a tax credit. So built into the tax credit structure is a two-year delay in any potential revenue impact for projects that get certified. And the way the policy that had been discussed in Senate Bill 45 is just extends the sunset date. So it doesn't affect the current program cap. This tax credit is a little bit unusual in that there is a cap of $16 million for any tax year. So with the current program being effectively fully subscribed, that $16 million a year revenue impact gets hit in tax years, I think 16 and 17 and 18, and so extension, moving the sunset date doesn't allow for the issuance of any new tax credits until probably tax year 2018. And so since no new tax credits would be issued until 2018, there's another two-year delay before any of them could hit the revenue stream. There's no revenue impact until the 19-21 biennium.
Okay.
And that's a half biennium impact, isn't it?
Yes, if I were to add other biennium, it goes up a good bit.
Right.
All right. And then finally, on film and video, we have almost the reverse dynamic. Could you explain why it goes down dramatically?
On these particular numbers reflect just an increase in the cap the annual cap from $10 million to $14 million without an extension of the sunset date.
Oh, okay.
And so the sunset date remains 1/1/18. In the numbers that I have there have been, I think, three bills that have slightly different policies related to the film and video credit. The numbers that I have in here are just an increase in the cap. They do not touch the sunset date.
Okay. Committee, I know we have some commitments at 9 o'clock, so Senator Boquist.
Mr. Chair, just follow up for Chris to explain here. I do see, and I've seen on the past two meetings, blanks down in the policy adjustment areas. Could staff talk briefly about biomass, because I understand that woody biomass is really, one estimate is approximately $2 million, and then could staff explain what are the electronic vehicle alternate fuel vehicle options, since they are on this list, but there's no money, how that would possibly work or what the dynamics of that would be, please?
Sure. For the biomass tax credit, there have been ongoing discussions around the exact policy on that tax credit, and I think we're getting to a close to a final policy on that, and the revenue impact there for the 15-17 biennium is around $2 million. And in this 17-19 biennium, it was around somewhere between 15 and 17 million, and then in 19 and 21 is I think where some of the concern was, where the revenue impact had been up as high as $30 million. I think some recent policy changes will bring down that revenue impact to the mid-20s, I think. But the reason they're not included here is because those numbers are, the policies are being actively worked. But I think that those are pretty close to final right now. For House Bill 2092, the alternative fuel vehicles, the bill has a blank in it. So the only way I could plug in an estimate there would be to assume what the policy would be for that tax credit, and I haven't gotten any direction on what that number would be. So I've left it blank.
Obviously, the number that the advocates were asking for is considerably higher than anything we're likely to consider. So we're continuing to discuss that.
Yeah. Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Senator Boquist.
But could you at least explain the dynamic? Is it just like one blank? Is it the total value? Is it a fuel credit? I mean, just a little bit, a paragraph on what is the dynamics of and the hydraulics of that, those discussions or the bill or the proposal?
The proposal is to offer a rebate on the sale or lease of an electric vehicle, a hybrid electric vehicle, what's called a neighborhood electric vehicle, which is obviously something slower and shorter range, or an electric motorcycle. That's subject to being trimmed down quite a bit, just that piece. The original request was for a $15 million credit, which would be sold using a mechanism similar to the one we use for film and video, so that rebate could be offered. That's way beyond anything that we're likely to consider. So we're talking about limitations that would involve both the value of the vehicle that it could be applied to, so that it would not apply to expensive cars, potentially an income limit for the person who was to receive the value of the rebate. That's administratively quite a bit more difficult to manage, so it's probably going to be the other piece, the limitation of the value. But the numbers just simply aren't there yet, and I think as a reality matter, one of the things that is of interest to the advocates is the setup of the Zero Emission Vehicle Fund. And I think they would settle for a fairly small, be happy with a fairly small tax credit amount to be applied toward rebates.
Okay, well, hopefully we'll have those figures in for those two by next week. Representative Peterson?
We have been diligently working on the biomass tax credit, but I think Chris gave a good explanation of what we're looking at in terms of the numbers. And just... just as a reminder, I think the biggest piece of this, as we're looking forward, is the new pilot program that I described last week that the department is looking at doing as a new way of of looking these tax credits to really incent energy production.
All right. Colleagues, I would encourage you to take a look at this lump of clay and the other things that may or may not be added in. Talk to your caucuses or whoever and work through the vice chairs and the co-chairs, because we need to start coming to terms with this beginning next week and start finishing up in the following week. So this is a good starting place. Thank you, Chris, for your hard work this year and keeping this coordinated and keeping us on track. And we'll go from there, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Senator Boquist.
If you would like to share with the chair and the vice chair of the House side the email and the concepts that I forwarded you, I'm fine with that. Or I would be happy to mail them to Representative Barnhart so we could share with his members so he could see the proposals we were suggesting, trying to get closer to balance, which does include your $2 million biomass. I was kind enough for that.
So. Your comment at the beginning of the meeting, the senator, is that what you're referring
yes.
to?
Right.
Yeah. I think that would be very useful.
Okay, I'd be happy to send it to you. You can distribute it to your members.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you, committee. We are adjourned.